Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen. Yesterday, Sunday, we reflected on the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. Jesus has been clear about his mission from the Father to regather the lost sheep, and that not a single lamb be lost, John 18:9. He has gathered to himself 12 shepherds who will be the respective leaders of these flocks, including Judas, a variant spelling of Judah, whose name identifies his high office, king over Judah, the tribe of Judah. The Lord travels to the tribe of Gad and prepares a man for leadership who had become disfigured by the world, by his consent to the world. A possession of 6,000 demons became his identity. Yet he is transformed by his desire to be transformed and through Jesus, who has made him an able and fitting leader, and sends him now out into his apostolate. Quote, return to your own house, tribe. And he went his way and proclaimed throughout the whole city. Luke 8:39. A descendant of Levi, another son of Jacob, called by the Greek name Matthew, will write a gospel echoing with the name of Abraham and the phrase kingdom of heaven. It is overbrimming with the presence of angels. You see the kingdom of heaven religion. The risen Christ appears before another man. This man is of the tribe of Benjamin. He is named for a favorite son of that tribe, King Saul. He has been determined to stamp out talk of angels, to be rid of this kingdom of heaven nonsense. And to move aside the name Abraham, that Moses may have pride of place. Yes, he has persecuted followers of the way until his own transforming encounter with the Lord Jesus, and ever after preaches of the transformation of mind and soul as the essence of religion. And oh yes, Abraham now becomes the hero of his ministry. This man will be renamed Paul, which means least among us. A distinction he constantly invokes, saying that he is last and least among the apostles. Today we celebrate the inauguration of the pivotal moment in human history. Heaven has opened. Intimacy with God is restored. Angels will again descend upon the sons and daughters of man. And the way of Father Abraham will signify the highest goal of human life. This is our religion. This is our faith. The one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, today called Holy Orthodoxy, enjoining her sons and daughters to give a wide berth to the secular world, embracing the divine as Abraham had. She keeps alive the life world of the early church, thanks be to God. Each day we continue to live by the calendar of the first century, presently 13 days behind the secular calendar. Each year we observe New Year's Day on September 1st, because this was the new year the apostles knew. The last great feast of the old year is the Dormition of the Most Holy Mother of God, as she is carried, body and soul, into God's bosom, into the bosom of Abraham, we might say. And the first great feast of the new year is her entrance into the temple, which feast we anticipate today, coming 1 week from today. Signifying restoration of the original pure religion, for she herself is unparalleled in her intimacy and unity with God. Who could ever experience an indwelling of God more perfectly than the Holy Mother? Entering the Zion Temple, the Holy of Holies, will pale beside the new and living Holy of Holies, where humanity will really and truly encounter God Himself. Glory be to God. The way which Jesus reinstitutes is the way of Abraham, who with his wife Sarah really and truly entered into communion with the triune God amongst the oaks of Mamre, as we see in our icon of the altar. He had prepared himself for this supernal moment, repudiating Ur of the Chaldees, luxurious Babylon, through years and years of purification in the desert. They had burned down their whole world and followed God into pristine and unknown country, new vocation. Keeping the cities of Cain at a far distance, in the end, now called Abraham, the father of all, would himself become like the Son of God, the kingdom of heaven, or paradise, depicted by the Son as the bosom of Abraham. Here is the fulfillment of this promised unity, becoming one with the Father as the Son and the Father are one, or one with the Son as the most holy Theotokos, the new Holy of Holies, is one with the Son of God. These are the good and dependable promises of Christ from the beginning. Quote, the kingdom of heaven has come upon you. Prepare yourselves, unquote. And before the beginning, as his forerunner declares these same astonishing words. He enters human history at the very moment that the people of God have strayed perilously far. They have gone beyond a tipping point, not only failing to give a wide berth to the world, represented by Babylon with its worldly religion of animal sacrifice, but becoming that world, even recasting their religion after its polluted image. All of this is captured allegorically in a final battle between the most pure Lamb of God, signifying the flocks of Israel in its original pristine form, who slays a vile beast known as Babylon. It is uncanny how closely our own era and culture resemble the first century Levant, where once a holy vision of freedom and democracy had stood, now a tawdry version has taken its place in a vile parody. Freedom has come to mean having and doing anything we want, however immoral. Just when we think that somebody has broken through, the new breakthrough we hear, well, that breakthrough is outdone by another, still more vile. Freedom, freedom, freedom ring. And democracy has come to mean enshrining our lowest animal urges in law, as prescriptions against child pornography are struck down and every kind of ruinous drug is decriminalized or legalized, or anything the people want will now become our way of life, democracy. This is the majority's will. The American family, barely recognizable. Did you know that 1 in 3 children in the U.S. do not have an intact family? 1 in 3. a mother and father, according to the most recent government census. By contrast, only 3% of children in China are born into single-parent households, 3%. Do you see, that's an order of magnitude below our tragic numbers. The number is only 7% outside the U.S. worldwide. Yes, here is the haunting image of freedom and democracy in America. And we know the story anecdotally. I can't bother with my children. I'm too busy being free. And what I vote for reflects my own will for my endless freedoms. You see, children have become a form of oppression. Meantime, the New York Times has defined liberal democracy in terms of same-sex marriage. That is, without same-sex marriage in place, no society might be deemed a real democracy in the eyes of American foreign policy. And the price for entering NATO, as Poland and Hungary discovered to their great discomfiture, is to promote these policies, however much they run counter to their own national character, history, and morals. A cruel taskmaster is this entrance into NATO, as we see the image of American corruption spreading all over the world. Do you wonder what the BRICS movement is all about? Why other countries representing most of the world have had it. They have reached the limit, and they realize that to go their own way, they must have their own currency, reserve currency. This is the key that unlocks all the headlines. For the land of the free and the home of the brave is no longer recognizable, not to Americans born before World War II. We even call the manufacturer of our sensual cultural images and values, promoted in countless television programs and movies, Babylon. Hollywood's other name. But today, as we peer through the centuries, somewhere on a hilltop far away from polluted Jerusalem, the incarnate God calls his people away from all that. He commands us to purify ourselves. He bids us look up where heaven has opened. And he promises that angels, pure angels, will ascend and descend upon even ourselves, the sons and daughters of man. So let us commence the nativity fast with shouts of glory to God. Let us leach out every toxin in our fasting and prayer. Let us give thanks to him for the holiness that is available all around us, with every word of our orisons. And most certainly, let us discard all made in Babylon entertainments. Let us turn off our glowing screens. Let us throw our televisions out the second story window. Let us toss out all of our glossy magazines extolling consumerism, fake news, and propaganda paraded before us as news stories. Instead, let us step out into true freedom, walking beneath the skies of high heaven, in the company of God and the heavenly host. Let us become, quote, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, unquote, Ephesians 2:19. And let us live every moment on earth in expectation and rumors of angels, or even the triune God, encountered amongst sacred oaks. and after our journey in this fasting season. We shall kneel before the crib of the Son of God, as Persian religious men did 2,000 years ago, the Magi. He will give us new life, and he will forgive us our shames. Above all, let us go. Like Abraham, let us go into God's great unknown, never counting the cost. For this is the blessing he has in store for each one of us, to be received in his trust and love, who longs to call us his friends. Fare thee forward, O pilgrims of God, for the one we seek is life itself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.